The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 16 in our Revelation series. The title of this message is The Resurrection of the Two Witnesses. And we're going to read Revelation chapter 11, starting at verse 3 and reading through to verse 14. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here!" And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies looked on. At that very hour there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. The third one is coming soon. These are the two prophets, the two witnesses of the Lord, who halfway through the great tribulation will come to power, to such amazing power that they will be able to do signs and wonders that have not previously been seen on the planet. In our previous study, we identified these two witnesses as the prophetic wing of the Gentile church and the prophetic department of Israel. That is redeemed Israel, Israel that has received Jesus as Messiah. From both of these groups, a prophetic group, perhaps numbering 1 million strong, will rise up together, partnering together at the end of the age for the purposes of the Lord. We are told that for 1,260 days, that's the first half of the tribulation period, approximately 3.5 years, that these prophets will be prophesying. These are the days of their prophesying, and amazing things will happen to the church and Israel during these 3.5 years. The Bible says they will be clothed in sackcloth. That does not mean that they're going around with potato sacks on. It means that they have a spirit of humility. The clothing of the sackcloth was a symbol of humility. and poverty of spirit that people in the Old Testament would put on when they were fasting or when they were grieving or in a place of sorrow. When these two prophetic groups have great anointing to do the things that they are about to do, they will need to have the spirit of humility on them, or else they will misuse the anointing. Today, all around the world, there are apostles and prophets and ministers of the gospel who are stepping forth with powerful anointing. I'm sorry to say that not all of them are wearing sackcloth. Not all of them present their ministries with humility. And I think because of that, some might move into a place where they mishandle people and mishandle the Word of God. They might manipulate or use guilt or some kind of control over people. But these people in the Great Tribulation period, who are the two witnesses of the Lord, the two prophetic groups, Israel and the church, they will be clothed in sackcloth and walk in a kind of humility. They'll be walking in the fear of the Lord. They are the two olive trees. They are the two lampstands, the two witnesses who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. I mentioned to you earlier that the whole world is moving politically towards becoming democratic. There will still be nations among the world, but each nation by this time will become democratic. And what will happen at this precise moment, once so many people have been killed, especially because of the last great battle that took place, many, many sinners even will be killed, perhaps a billion of them. And because the world is democratic, there will be a shift in people's hearts for a moment of time, and many will be on fire for the Lord. And at this time, the Christians and the Jews will be voted into political power in the nations of the world because it will be democratic. It will be kind of like one of the elections that we see in the United States of America, where we see on one side those who stand for things like right to life and God's purposes with Israel. And on the other side, we might see a group who stand for things that are not biblical, things that do not carry the Christian Judaic standard that the Lord puts forth to us as the way we should live. And so in this time, there will be some political votes in all of the nations of the world. Only it will be the Christians and the Jews who come into power. Most have not seen this coming. Most prophets today or teachers of the scripture can't imagine that the church in Israel will actually be in charge of the world for a short period of time. But that's exactly what will happen with these two prophetic bodies. So at the end of this scripture, when we find that they will be killed, we find that the people of the world who did not support them will throw parties and celebrate because they will feel like they had been tortured by these two prophetic groups. How could that be possible? Well, it's possible because when the Christians and the Jews get into power, they will rule the world by democratic power, but they will pass legislation, pass laws to abolish the killing of unborn children. They will pass laws that will stop crime, drugs, pornography, and outward expressions of the gay lifestyle, like parades. They will bring righteousness to the streets of the cities of the world. It doesn't mean that everybody will get saved because of them, and they will not force people to get saved or to go to church or anything like that. They will just say, this is a destructive thing. It's the murder of a child. We're not going to allow that anymore. We're going to stand for family values. They will vote and bring into power such laws to stop many of the evil, destructive vices that are in the world today. At this time, the Bible says that they will be given supernatural power. It says if anyone tries to harm them, fire comes out of their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. Now, the Christians and Jews, these two prophets, aren't going to just go around killing people who differ from them or who don't believe in Jesus or people who reject the gospel. No, it's nothing like that at all. But what will take place is that these two prophets will be in the position of president, prime minister, government leaders around the world. And there will be many rebel attacks. There will be war and coup and all kinds of tribal attacks. Guerrilla warfare will be in play as those who do not want the Lord and who don't want to be involved in this new government will try to take it down. And when they attack the civil governments of the world, it's at that time that the leaders of those governments will step forth. It's their place. It's the place of civil government to protect the people of the land and to keep order. So when all of those rebels come to attack, there will be a supernatural attack that goes back to them. And even these prime ministers, presidents, governors who are spirit-filled people, they will have power to call down fire from heaven and to destroy their enemies. The enemies will be brought under control. And they will stop crime. They will have supernatural power that will be almost unbelievable. It will never have been seen on the earth up until this time. We read some of this in the book of Micah. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 15 and 17, the Lord talks to the Jewish people. Listen to what he says about the end of the days. He says, as in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. He's talking about the last days. Nations will see and be ashamed, he says, deprived of all of their power. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God, and they will be afraid of you. That's Micah chapter 7, verse 15 to 17. It says about the Jewish people that in the last days, it's going to be like the time when they left Egypt, and that the wonders that they saw when they left Egypt, they're going to see at the end of the age. What were the wonders they saw when they left Egypt? They saw water turning to blood. They saw plagues. You remember the 10 plagues of Egypt. And now we read here that this is how anyone who wants to harm these two prophets must die. These two prophets will have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they will have power to turn the water into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. So the Lord tells the Jewish people, just like the plagues you saw in Egypt, that's what it's going to be like at the end of the age. And he says, the people will fear you because the power of the Lord will be upon you. And many people will turn to the Lord. Others will run from you, but many will turn to the Lord as well. And I like what it says in the verse after that in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, it says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever. You will be true to Israel and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged by an oath to our fathers in days long ago." God will show the people of Israel the same wonders that he showed when they came out of Egypt. And they, these leaders, will strike the earth, turn the waters into blood, and cause plagues to come as often as they want. So here we see military commanders, leaders of governments who are ruling the nations of the world, bringing the world into order, ruling it with the rod of iron. You see, some people think that Jesus died on the cross and the book of Acts was a great time of miracles, but from then till he comes again, everything will be downhill. But God's going to turn it all around. When the time of the great tribulation comes, there's going to be such anointing that comes on the people of God. And they're even going to come to a point about the midpoint of the great tribulation, 3.5 years, where they will rule and reign, and the power of God will be upon them. When Jesus said, "Do you see the works that I do? Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." It's never happened, but it's going to happen in the time of the great tribulation. For these things that we read here about Israel and the church ruling and reigning is absolutely awesome with a supernatural power. And it was prophesied that it would happen at the end of the age by the prophet Micah in Micah chapter 7. Now, they will complete their testimony. What is their testimony? Their testimony is that through Christ, they can do everything, that they have all power and all authority, and that Jesus Christ is absolutely victorious. That will be the completion of their testimony, not just when they say it, but when they do it. They're going to take charge of the world, but it's not going to last very long. I think they will probably be in political power for about 1 year. And they will rule the world for about 1 year at this time. But after the 1 year is over, they will have completed their prophesying and finished their testimony. And then the Lord, he's not finished yet with the people of the earth. Many people still do not believe in him. Remember I told you in a previous study that the hardcore worst sinners are still on the planet and God's going after them. So he has first of all subdued them under the prophetic witnesses. And now he's going to take his hand of protection off of the prophetic witnesses and let them die as martyrs. It's not an accident what's about to happen. But we read about it in verse 7. "Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss." Do you remember his name? Apollyon. He is the Antichrist spirit. And he has many demons with him. And his demons give supernatural power to people and will incite the people to attack. They will partner with these four demon lords and what's left of the armies of the devil that are on the planet. And they will attack and overthrow the prophetic people of God. That means in every city around the world, there will be a military coup. Before this time, they were unsuccessful because the Lord's hand and power was with them. But all of a sudden, the Lord takes his power away. And the people of God, they're victorious in spirit, but they are not given supernatural power at this point to defend themselves. And then the attacks come against them and they are killed. There will be a bloodbath at this time. Millions of Christian leaders will die. And it says in verse 8, their bodies will lie in the street of that great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So they're laying down their lives just like the Lord did. God allowed Jesus to be crucified, and he will allow all of these people to be crucified or to die as well. The reason is the same, because through the death of these people, he will bring great revival to the hardest people of the world. It says that they will lie in the streets. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. This is absolutely barbaric, because in hot countries, you cannot leave bodies on the ground. You will have cholera and all kinds of diseases. But these people are so demonized that they will not allow these bodies to be buried. People all around the world. It'll be on, you know, the television. It'll be on CNN News and BBC News that the people, the leaders have been killed in all the nations. And their bodies will be on the streets. Thousands, millions, I will say, of leaders in the church and in Israel with their bodies lying there. And at that time, the people who ran the abortionaries, the people who ran the drug trade, the people who ran the pornography trade, the people involved in all the criminal vices of the world, the people who want to be involved in witchcraft and darkness and sin and oppression and abuse and greed and corruption, they will take over the seats of power in all of the cities of the world, and they will cast down the law that has just been made, and they will have a worldwide party, and they will celebrate for 3 days and send gifts to each other. And the scripture says that they will gloat over the dead bodies, because the two prophetic groups, the two prophets, had tormented those who live on the earth. How did they torment them? They said, no, you cannot have that abortion business. No, you cannot have that vile vice functioning. No, you cannot print your pornography. No, you cannot have pornography on the internet, which has destroyed a whole generation of youth. No, you cannot have these things. And so these people who are making the millions of dollars through all of these vices will all of a sudden feel like they are being tormented because they can't do these things. And when they rise up and destroy the church and Israel, that prophetic group, they will start to celebrate for 3.5 days. They will be in a feast of sensuality and witchcraft and darkness and celebration. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God will enter all those bodies, and they will stand on their feet, and terror will strike the people of the world who see them. Then there will be heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And all of a sudden, all over the planet, all these people who are standing in the streets just being raised from the dead shall shoot up into the clouds and into the heavens while their enemies are looking on. At that very hour, there will be a severe earthquake, and 7,000 people will be killed in the earthquake, and the survivors will be terrified, and they will give glory to God. They will give glory to the God of heaven. Did you hear this? They will give glory to the God of heaven. This is the second woe. The third is soon to come. So here we see the finality of this strategy. The Lord is so wise. Somebody would say, all right, we've got everybody who can be saved off the planet. I know there's still a couple or maybe 3 billion people here, but they're just so evil, most of them. Well, at least half of them. We might as well just pack it in and forget it. But no, the Lord says, I'm going after them. So he gets his people into power. And first of all, he shows that he can do whatever he wants and his people can rule and reign. And they do, but only for a short period of time. Then he says, now, saints, I'm calling you to die. I'm allowing you to be martyrs. And they're killed. And people who don't understand are saying, oh no, we've lost it. Just like the disciples did when Jesus went to the cross. But after 3.5 days, just like Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, they're raised up and caught up into heaven. It is a resurrection. A resurrection, a mini resurrection with maybe only 1 million people instead of the whole world being resurrected. It's not a rapture because Jesus doesn't come flying into the clouds and take them off to heaven. It's not that which the Bible refers to when Jesus comes in. He's still in heaven at this time. He just calls them up to himself. And they go. And what happens to the people who are left behind? Great fear comes upon them. An earthquake shakes the planet. 7,000 people die. It's like God puts an exclamation mark on what he just did. And people start to glorify the God of heaven. Their hearts are now turning. They were so proud and so arrogant and so rebellious, but through this event, all of a sudden they're saying, you know what? Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we ought to open our hearts to God after all. And in the next few chapters, we will discover the greatest revival in all of history will take place. God did this for that. We have one more chapter in this trilogy of what happens with the church during the tribulation period. We talked about personal participation with the little scroll. We talked about the church rising up with redeemed Israel to rule the world and then to be used of God. And the next chapter, chapter 12, is about the church as well. It's absolutely magnificent.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening,
we extend God's richest blessings.